Please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Johnny, what's the difference between us and them?
Because we live here.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Welcome back, fellow Rebel Scum. This is the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. Your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. The date is June 15th, 2022, another 15 days to flatten the curve. And this is the extremely online part two. I tried to do two podcasts on Mission Impossible 2, and it just was not coming out. I'll probably just do a thread on it on Twitter. Because I just watched the movie. I'm going through the Mission Impossible films that I haven't seen, including the ones that, like, Mission Impossible 3. Anyways, I was doing those. I was trying to do a podcast on that, and it wasn't coming out. And then I saw just literally 5 seconds ago, saw this article. And I was like, this is perfect. I got to comment on this. I got to do a podcast on this. Okay. So a couple days ago, there was a group of people from young men. From a Patriot Front, is that what it's called? They showed up to some, you know, LGBTQ+++++ event that involves, you know, sexually grooming children, I presume, like they all do. And they showed up with a U-Haul and a bunch of stuff, and then they got arrested, right? So one of the mothers of this Patriot Front is speaking. She is going to the media in the hopes of converting her son back to the light side, the good side. What we are witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm about to introduce you to, what we're about to walk through together, side by side, is attention whoring in the most shameless way possible. Because attention is the coin of the realm in girl world. This is about a woman using her son's destruction of her son's life to garner attention for herself. Her 15 minutes of fame, she is basically sitting on the corpse of her son's life in any meaningful sense. I mean, unless this guy does some massive rehabilitation, which would involve getting away from his mother, then he's just not, as they say online, you're not going to make it. So mother of Patriot Front group member speaks out after son's arrest at Pride event. I love how they call it a Pride event. Why don't you just say it's a... that's what they're gonna call, you know, when they start introducing the pedophiles. It's gonna be, they're proud peoples. Yeah, pedophile is a slur. We don't call them that. And it's like, okay, groomer. Anyways, a mother of one of the Utah men arrested for conspiracy to riot at a Pride event in Idaho over the weekend is speaking out in an attempt to get him out of the white nationalist group Patriot. Okay, this is the dumbest thing I have ever, not ever heard, but this is one of the dumbest things. This is like someone saying Vladimir Putin's a madman who might just launch nuclear weapons because he feels like it, so we need to do everything possible to agitate him. Right? She's speaking out. What she's basically saying is, I'm going to go to the media and get tons of attention from people online, and that's going to cause my son, and talk about my son, and talk about private matters and his struggles, and humiliate him and shame him, and that's going to get him to leave this group. Karen Amsden told KUTV she does not support her son Jared Boyce's beliefs or choices, and she was devastated to learn of the reason for his arrest. Okay. You don't support it. No, first of all, even if you did, honey, you're not going to say it on TV, right? This is you saying, I'm a good mother. This is a woman who's also completely whitewashing her role in her son's life. I did that podcast recently where I was talking about the school shooter and how nobody's responsible for raising kids today. This is an example of someone who is washing their hands of their responsibility for raising a young man. 31 members of the group were found packed in the back of a U-Haul wearing riot gear. The men were standing inside the truck wearing khakis, navy blue shirts, and beige hats with white balaclavas, covering their faces when Coeur d'Alene police stopped the vehicle and began arresting them on the side of the road. Guys, this is why you avoid extremely online groups. Because you do dumb shit like this. I mean, first of all, what, you show up wearing khakis and navy blue shirts. Is that like the official FBI informant? You know, and there was a whole argument online about whether these people were FBI informants or not. And I'm like, it's probably, my gut tells me it's probably a combination of both. But here's the reality. What they do is they recruit young men who come from broken homes. That's just the reality. So it does, in my opinion, it doesn't matter. I mean, whether they're an FBI informant clearly this woman's son is not an FBI informant because she would not be online because the FBI would be telling her to shut her face. A little thing popped up on my phone about these guys being arrested. I just knew in my heart he was part of it, Amston said. Okay, so you... This is like with the school shooter who says, I'm going to go shoot up a school. And everybody's like, oh, the only way to prevent this is to ban guns. How about when people see problems, they actually do something about it? I just knew he was a part of it. Okay, because you knew what was going on, you were just too busy doing other things. Or you just didn't care. Or you didn't, whatever it was. I don't know the circumstances of their life. She said he bonded out of jail and showed up at her home in Springfield. I was hoping and praying that maybe this arrest would be something that would change his attitude, she said. But instead, she's worried it did the opposite. They feel justified in what they did, and he intends on being a part of Patriot Front. Well, honey, now, I mean, this is the problem with all these, when we deal with people who are like this. They do not come from good homes. There are people who don't, like, no privileged white guy joins one of these groups. Like, if you're a genuinely privileged white guy, and there are, I've encountered them, they came from wealthy homes, they were trust fund babies, they've had everything paid for, and their dads were rich or their moms were rich, and they got jobs at companies because their dad picked up the phone and made the call. Right? These people don't have, they don't have to worry about the stuff, and then they go and they get introduced, or they went to a university where they met a girl from a wealthy background, and they got married, and their families have wealth. Like, that's privilege, that's not white privilege, that's just being privileged. This kid is clearly not privileged. And as some of you who follow Aaron Clary would probably start noting, yes, guys, I'm going to spoil it. The father was unavailable for comment. I'm shocked to discover gambling here. Yes, and so this kid doesn't have stuff, so maybe people might want to sit down and say, what led up to, this is the thing I keep throwing at everything, whether it's a school shooter or a kid who just, what led up to this moment? You are hoping and praying. Honey, hoping and praying isn't a solution. This is like, I'm hoping and praying. This is classic. You know, guys, where I'm going with this. When someone says, I'm hoping and praying, they're saying, I'm doing nothing. This is passive mindset. This is effeminate. Amston said she asked him after his arrest to choose between his family and the group, and if his choice was the latter, that he needed to move out, which she said was tough. Tough for who, sweetheart? Was it tough for you to actually let your adult son move out of the house so that you don't have somebody to... you have as an emotional teddy bear? I think we all know what this family life looks like, where she's probably controlling in some ways, and he doesn't have any support, and she's using him as a emotional crutch. And not letting him be a man, and not letting him assert himself like a man. And she asked him, guys, look, one, if my son joined an extremely online group and got arrested, the first thing I would feel is humiliation. But also I'd ask myself, how did I miss this? Of course, as we were going to read in this article, she didn't miss this. She knew what was going on the whole time. Do you think that this woman sat down with her son and said, hey, son, it's like if your father, you know, your daughter shows up from college, her hair's been cut, she's dyed it, and she's now lesbian, and you, or she's, you know, in some dysfunctional relationship with some a complete loser. You have to, as a father, you say, I failed, and what led up to this moment? But the thing is, in almost every single one of these cases, something led up to that moment. It's like when a parent of the school shooters, right? Everything, there were signs, there were issues. There's always stuff going on before that where if somebody had intervened who was responsible or actually involved, it wouldn't have happened. And this is why I did that podcast on why young men need to avoid extremely online groups. You do cringe shit like showing up wearing khakis and riot gear. Like, that is... the aesthetics of that are... and let's assume it was the FBI that did that. Okay, FBI, can you get your aesthetics under control? I'm assuming that one of you guys are listening to this podcast, or maybe the NSA, possibly the CIA. I mean, whatever it is. Guys, I'm giving you free advice. Afterwards, I'm going to start charging you. Get your aesthetics under control. This is pathetic. I mean, if they were cargo shorts, it'd be a violation of White Boy Summer 2 rules. I could officially have you guys reprimanded. I will do that on the podcast if I have to. All right, so back to the woman. Because we don't want to take attention off her. She needs this attention. This is about her. I don't think people are entitled to go and provoke other people and incite a riot. I don't believe that. There are peaceful ways to get your point across. Amston says she's been open with her son about her concern with his beliefs for years. Okay. Yes, and you can class, honey, you know, I'm really concerned about you doing being involved. It's like if you had a son who's stockpiling guns in his room and he's reading all this stuff, extremist ideology. At what point do you saying I'm concerned? This is problematic. That is effeminate. I remember at first when he started going down this rabbit hole, it started while he was a Holocaust denier and blaming the Jews and bought into all this conspiracy stuff, she said. At first, I thought it was kidding when he was talking about the Holocaust not being real. I thought that, but there really are people that believe that. Okay, this is a woman who's also not capable of reading her son. I thought he was kidding when he said that. I promise you this kid probably said it dead seriously. And her laughing at him probably didn't help. Or she just didn't take it. I mean, this is another thing like with the school shooters where they say, I'm going to shoot people. And everyone's like, oh, they can't be serious. This is what happens when people either deny reality of what's in front of them because they don't want to deal with it, or they are just really bad at reading people. Amston says it's been humiliating and heartbreaking seeing her son's name in headlines over what's happened in Idaho, saying she raised him better. Yes, because, you know, his life's destroyed. He's a young man. His entire life moving forward is going to be... unless he changes his name and completely rehabilitates himself. But it's humiliating and heartbreaking for saying she raised him better. Did you now? Okay, guys. So she raised him better, but she's felt, quote, hopeless at times, not knowing where to turn to for support. Okay. I'm going to take a drink. Not, it's too early in the morning for booze. This is some sparkling water. Where to turn to for support? Well, maybe sitting down and talking to your son. Well, support. Notice she's, I'm concerned. Son, I'm concerned. Okay, how about sitting down with him and saying, why do you believe this stuff? And why don't you do something more productive? Oh, how about you move out of the house? All right, if you have a son who's an adult and he's living at home and he's getting into extremist ideology, you failed as a parent. That's just a reality. So you say raised him better, or do you still think that you are raising him? They don't mention the age of the guy, so I have no idea. He's probably in his early 20s. But the fact of the matter is, guys, kids, this is the infantizing or whatever word we want to use. We are repressing the emotional development and maturity of people today? Where are they becoming more and more childlike and remaining in an adolescent state? Children should leave. I get that a lot of people will say, hey, well, kids should stay with the parents and then they don't pay rent and then they can collect money and they can save it up for mortgage. Okay, if you're living in a healthy home, fair enough. You got good parents and there's healthy boundaries and they understand that you are an adult. That's one thing. In these cases, no, you got to get out. I see too many of these guys who just, they will not leave the nest. And let's be frank, the mother doesn't want them to leave the nest. They are perfectly fine with their son staying with them for the rest of their lives. And it's not like the Italian culture where mommy is, you know, it's an Italian mother who just smothers him with affection and, you know, he's a mama's boy in that sense. I'm talking about like mentally ill, disturbing, where the man is treated like a child. You know, Italian mothers, their issue is they're overly affectionate and they don't force the son to grow up in other ways. This is where they're actually trying to maintain the adult child in an adolescent state. And she's not knowing where to turn to for support. This is also what happens when you hyper-atomize our society and culture, where no one is responsible for anybody. Who do you tell? The woman's talking. Who do you tell? Who do you talk to? You know, like, oh, my son's, you know, a white supremacist neo-Nazi. You don't want to talk about it to other people because it's just so crazy. Maybe you don't want to talk about it because then they are going to discover that you are not letting your son grow up, or your family life's dysfunctional. Hey, I know who you should maybe talk to. How about the father? She said throughout the year she's been searching for answers, but feel this is rock bottom. She's been searching for answers. Again, what do you mean searching for answers? This statement does not make any sense. Searching for answers to what? Like why your son's that way? I've tried to be a good mom. Well, trying is not doing, and I don't know what to do, and I don't want to give up on him, you know, she said. In speaking out, Amsden said she's received several messages from family members and individuals who say they've experienced similar things with loved ones. Some people have reached out, and if it helps anybody, then that's a good thing. And gosh, if it helps Jared get kicked out of the group, that would be even better, but I don't know. He'll probably hate me for it. Okay, guys, let's go to the beginning of this article. A mother of one of the Utah men arrested for conspiracy to riot at a pride event in Idaho over the weekend is speaking out in an attempt to get him out of the white nationalist group Patriot Front. But then we stroll down to this where if it helps Jared get kicked out of the group, that would be even better, but I don't know. He'll probably hate me for it. So, guys, this right there is the summary of everything wrong with this family. This woman is speaking out in the media, ostensibly, to help her son leave a white nationalist group. But then she says, he'll probably hate me for it. This is about her having her 15 seconds of fame and being in the spotlight and humiliating her son. This is about her whitewashing herself as a parent. He'll probably hate you for it, honey, and you'll deserve it because you failed him. And if some, and for those who are not listening to this podcast, because only intelligent people listen to this podcast, would say, TJ, you don't know enough details. You don't know about the family life and all this stuff. Well, here's what I know. The father was unavailable for comment for one reason or another. She doesn't see in any way how the lack of a father is affecting her son's life. She is speaking out in public in the media, claiming to help her, hopefully to get her son out of a white nationalist group, and then admits, he'll probably hate me for it. I mean, this is just amazing. This is a person who has no shame. This is a person who should be quietly reflecting on the life choices that they have made. But we can't do that, not in the year 2022, another 15 days to flatten the curve, not in our society today. We can't have people actually taking responsibility for their actions. We can't have the mother saying, I failed my son because I didn't let him grow up. Or I failed my son because I didn't... She's talking about finding answers or going to... You know, this is why... This is the problem, guys. And this is something I've been thinking about a lot in just my own community and stuff like that. Young men do not have direction because they don't have spaces anymore. We've completely gutted male spaces. Yeah, I see this constantly where I see men, young men who just don't have direction in life. And on one hand, I'm sympathetic because I struggle with a lot of just lack of direction stuff after when I became an adult, because it's like you're used to going through the school system. You're used to having people tell you what to do. And then suddenly you're out and you have no idea, like, what do you do with your life? So in some sense, it's like I had some direction, but I definitely, it was like, I don't fully know where to go. And there was a whole bunch of stuff going on in my region as far as like it was the Great Recession, the economy was in the tank, then housing prices went up, just all these things were going on. But the thing is, you got to pull, and I was, we can call it luck, we can call it good fortune, we can call it me making, just powering through it. But now I have direction in life that I didn't have before. And part of that just comes with age. I remember I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday who's my age, and we were just noting, you know, this lack of direction that young people have with their jobs, where if they're not constantly being told what to do, they just don't know what to do. And I was telling them, yeah, that's the part of the problem is they've been told what to do, but not what, like specifically what to do, but they're not being given general direction so that they can operate independently. And so my point is that there needs to be the creation of new spaces for young men where they are given a healthy environment, because these extremely online groups are not healthy. People can talk about the politics all they want. The politics thing is an aside. I promise you that they are not encouraging one another and giving each other emotional support and, you know, all the stuff that a family should provide. I'm assuming that this kid is seeking that. And the other thing is, because these people join these groups out of anger, nobody's like, I'm in a good mood, I'm going to join a white nationalist group. I mean, to be sure, there could be guys out there that are indulgent. But it's the same thing with, you know, privileged white men don't join white nationalist groups. There's no reason to. I get that there's been some wealthy people involved with these groups, but including the FBI. But that's just not... Whenever this is what drives me nuts about this woman being, it's like, honey, he joined because you were not doing your job. And instead of taking responsibility and saying, what have I done? And what am I not doing? Do you think that this woman's going to her son and saying, son, is there something I'm not doing that I could be doing to help? Do you think that these two have good communication skills? I'm assuming not. I think it's a fair statement. This is going to continue going on until we come up with a meaningful solution. But unfortunately, we are a society that says that male spaces shouldn't exist. It's this, and it's not even explicitly said. I've said this before. Don't watch what people say. Don't listen to people say. Listen to what they do. People are programmed to instinctively destroy any male space. They don't even fully know what they're doing. But if you have a group of guys that are doing something together, it will inevitably draw women that want to join. And we are confused about masculinity. We're confused about femininity. We're confused about all these other things. And so you have a bunch of young, confused, angry men who don't have a place to go to get the kind of support that they need, the kind of encouragement they need, the kind of sense of purpose. And this is why there is no collective solution. I always say on a lot of topics, I say there is no collective solution. There are only individual solutions. You know, if you're on the beach, if you're on Omaha Beach on D-Day, there is no collective solution other than getting off the beach. But how you get off the beach is up to you. Young men today, you're on Omaha Beach. You got to figure out a way to get off it. And honestly, standing up and waving your hand next to a bunch of other men, other soldiers, is going to get you gunned down. It's not going to get you across the beach. So on that note, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, tjmartinell.com, coming to you from my war room and my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia, signing off.